Last time on Leighton Legends.
Hello, meatbags.
Fives!
Obviously, we need to find the elf. Let's go snag a couple horses.
And where are we going?
In the direction of New Elf Town.
And you're now out on the open road.
What's going on up there?
I believe I see some sort of tavern nearby.
Mordecai just juts his head out the window.
Beer?
As you pull right up to it, you can see that the front door has kind of been rotted away, and you see that there are no lights on inside there.
Ooh.
Huh.
Ooh.
Well, seems like they're out of business.
Yes, this would be a good place for us to stay the night, though. Easy to defend if we're relayed by bandits.
Okay, I'll pull up there.
Brandon, so you are in the basement here.
Yes.
You start to hear something behind you, something that sounds, and this sounds weird, moist. And you look behind you, and on top of that table is a bottle. And it doesn't look quite like a bottle, because it's starting to grow.
Oh no.
Mordecai, this bottle, for some reason, is stuck to you.
Can I like, try to like tramp it out, like my boot?
Crushing into the bottle.
Good, and it doesn't try and reanimate itself or anything, or?
Nope.
So last night, you went to sleep after a rather, let's call it rough ride to the north and a rough time finding a place to sleep. But you managed to after a certain amount. Giovanni was asleep, not naked. We specified that on his shield. And I think Val was asleep upstairs in one of the rooms. He kind of like had taken over one of the rooms, and Mordecai was somewhere behind the bar. And Giovanni, Lieutenant Black, and Fives were all kind of camped around a fireplace that they had set up the night before. It's now daytime. And I feel like, I mean, like, it could really be any of you, but I really feel like Val probably wakes up first. And he sits up, and he can kind of hear maybe birds chirping and singing through his broken window in his little room upstairs. And the sun is bright. There's a fresh mist on the ground outside, and you just kind of are filled with this excitement of new opportunities. You wake up.
Take a big breath. That sweet, sweet air, man. It's good to be out of Renlin. And I guess I see if my companions have woken. I've been in my trance, I suppose.
Yeah, that might be a good reason why you also woke up before everybody else. Maybe you've been up like 4 hours now, just kind of waiting for your stupid companions to wake up because it takes so long.
I might be just doing push-ups, just doing my own thing, getting ready.
One time you tried waking Mordecai up before like it was time to get up, and Mordecai was just really pissy about it, and now you kind of know to keep your distance.
Well, yeah,
until everyone else is ready.
I'm slowly learning, not to rouse these guys, just because I'm not necessarily ready to go, so. Humans are a little slower.
Okay. All right, so I imagine you leave your bedroom, you walk down the creaky hallway all the way to those that flight of stairs that is dilapidated, and you guys have kind of set up like a bit of a cupboard and like a table to kind of allow yourself to jump up a little bit easier. And you come downstairs, and you can see that your companions are still asleep. It's still relatively early morning, and probably getting to breakfast time, but everyone else is still asleep. You can wake them up, I suppose, if you so choose to.
Is the fire still going?
It's embers now.
Okay.
There certainly is no fire going. No one has been tending to it all night.
I'll do that. I'll see if I can go gather some wood or some firewood around or something, and then maybe work on some breakfast for everybody. Get a drop on it.
Yeah, so there's definitely like some smashed chairs that were set to the side where people have been like just kind of feeding the fire.
Sure.
Maybe that was when the fire was originally from. And you can pick up a few of those and start stirring them. Could I have everybody else roll perception checks?
Mordecai gets a 6. Still groggy.
Giovanni rolls a 12.
Okay, I think Giovanni, you're closer to where this fire was, so you start to stir as Val starts starting up the fire again.
Goblins.
There, Gio. All's well.
I had a terrible dream. Best forget about it.
It never happened, yeah.
What have we got for breakfast for Chow? I don't know what we packed.
Well, I imagine you guys have, like, sort of field rations.
Okay.
So you guys have Certainly all of
You're gonna have to wake me up for that.
Yeah, you'll never find out what food you guys have until Mordecai is up. Screw this. Okay, Mordecai, yeah, you're okay, up now. Yeah. Let's stop beating around the bush. You got up. There's people moving around now. And you can see that Lieutenant Black is starting to get up, and the lights kind of brighten up on Fives, and you can see that he is now cognizant of what's going on around him. And yeah, Val has been stoking the fire, and Mordecai, you're up. You can provide people with food. They are looking at you expectantly, maybe, by this point.
So he runs a hand under his mask. And he rubs his eyes, gets the sleepies out.
Oh, yeah. One second, guys. Sorry. I was having a terrible dream. Just give me a second.
What was it about? Was it about goblins?
Yeah, it's just a really bad wedding.
So he pulls out his little bag of holding underneath his coat, reaches in, and I'm going to pull out enough rations for everyone but Five, because he's a robot, and I did not pack oil.
Sure, yeah, that was actually one thing that we forgot about, was to pack oil Fives. He's still there, though. I don't think he's too offended by it.
One of us can learn the grease spell.
Can we use Senor Clean for oil for the robot? Is that an appropriate substitute, or that short circuit?
I feel like we used Senior Clean when we built him.
No.
So
That removes oil, man. Senior Clean, it's a cleaning mechanism.
Well, I mean, WD-40 is technically a solvent, but people use it as a lubricant. So.
That's true. Touche.
Maybe we let him taste it, see if he likes it. See if it unlocks some secret powers.
Sure, actually.
Five's growing hair.
Five's levels up at the end of this this breakfast.
You can call me Six now.
Five's our buddy. He can make his own decisions.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. If you want to try feeding Fives some Senior Clean, you're welcome to do so.
I'm not going to.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm glad that is settled. Fantastic. Okay, so you guys, let's say you have a nice little breakfast. If you're not up to full health at this point, you should be, and all of your skills and whatnot are back. You guys have healed up after your misadventures yesterday.
Woo-hoo!
As breakfast is kind of coming to a close, you can see that Lieutenant Black is starting to get a little bit antsy, and she looks over at the three of you, and she says,
"Well, guys, are you ready to head out?"
Let's make tracks. Let's get going.
Indeed. Let's make haste.
Daylight's burning.
Okay, so let's say that the five of you make your way out to the stables, and you throw all of your stuff back onto the carriage, and you start continuing to follow the road further up north. You wager that the travel is probably going to take at least another half a day to make your way all the way to New Elftown. Is there anything that you guys do along the way?
I want to say that Mordecai called shotgun this day.
Oh, boy. Yep. Sounds about right.
Right?
Sure. Mordecai's riding up top with Lieutenant Black. Lieutenant Black, I don't think, trusts any of you guys to actually drive this carriage.
I was about to ask, because she doesn't trust us to drive, but yeah, 100% it is.
I have more experience riding on top of the horse, not behind it.
She procured the horses, too, so, I mean...
Does the carriage move much faster than walking?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Can I ride one of the horses?
Yeah, you're... I think Lieutenant Black probably doesn't want, like, maybe you make a move towards one of the horses and she explicitly tells you no, because that's additional weight for that horse to carry and pull along.
Sure.
I know how weight distribution works for horses, but all right.
Well, I figured, if you were in the carriage, let's break it down. If you were in the carriage, the weight would be distributed between those two horses, but if you are sitting explicitly only on one horse, then that one horse is carrying you.
I was going to switch horses every couple of fortnights. So I forgot how the time works in
the sprint. Every fortnight, every 2 weeks? Yeah. Like, what?
Sorry, micro nights. I'll let this go. I'll just ride the carriage.
Therefore, by default, Fortnite is a macro night.
Go easy, Gio. They're a rental, eh?
I don't remember how Lieutenant Black acquired these horses.
Yeah, I don't think we actually asked.
To be fair, I thought maybe we did, and she just brushed us off.
Get in, losers. And off.
Yeah, I think a little recap is that she sort of brushed you guys off. Well, when Giovanni rather was asking about where she got the horses, she said that she found them.
Yep. Got procured then.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
As we're riding along, I think Mordecai's gonna shout back to Val, be like,
Did you put that fire out before we left?
No, I thought Gio did.
I certainly did not.
Ah, crap.
Lieutenant Black, just under her breath, says,
"Uh-oh." Can I roll perception to see if I can see some smoke billowing up from distant kilometers?
Yeah, sure.
I also want to roll perception too.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, roll perception.
Three?
10.
Yeah, you look back. It's been a while since you guys have left the tavern. You do not see any looming smoke in the distance.
Oh, good enough for me. Yeah, you know what? It might have been a good thing to burn that place down anyways if there's more mimics around or something.
That's true.
Yep.
Like, here is one thing that maybe you guys will pick up on with your perception checks. Well, maybe not Giovanni or Mordecai, certainly not. You guys only rolled threes. But Val realizes that it's starting to pick up in terms of wind. The weather is actually really nice out. It is absolutely gorgeous. It's continued from the same kind of degree of brightness and serenity that Val woke up to. But it's starting to pick up in terms of wind, so it's getting a little bit windier out. Val, maybe you might suspect that there could be like a bit of a storm later in the day, but if that happens, I mean, you're really uncertain. It's just kind of nice windy weather.
Sure. I'm just enjoying it, probably blowing my hair around, swishing around.
Yeah, I mean, you still are in the carriage, so it's not like, you know, you have wind rushing through your head, but yeah, sure, you're just kind of blowing your hair around.
Still tossing my head.
Sticking his head out the window.
Yeah, you put your head out the window. Maybe you turn into a dog at some point, and then you're just kind of standing up on, like, with your head out the window as a dog. That's a great image.
Actually, yeah, but it did not burn my creature slots.
Mordecai, could I have you roll a perception check?
Okay. 16.
Yeah, awesome. I love that, like, this is canon. You just yelled out as Mordecai, 16. Lieutenant Black looks over to you, and she says,
"What?"
And it's at that point that you realize, Mordecai, you looked up, and there was a sign in front of you, and it said, "New Elf Town, 16 minutes.
Oh, minutes. Man.
Minutes.
Guys, we're not too far away.
The sign denotes the amount of time it would take. Is it magical? It changes per traveler's means of transportation.
So you guys start to slow down. Like, Lieutenant Black, as you approach the sign, start to slow down. And you can see that number starts to increase to 18 minutes and to 20 minutes.
Well, there you have it.
Amazing.
Huh, what do you know? That's clever.
The elves will never cease to amaze.
And then you start speeding up again.
Okay, it seems like we're going to be getting there pretty soon, at least within approximately 16 minutes. Is there anything that we need to do to prepare before we enter the town?
Well,
Are we still in the wilds, or are...
Sort of. So you could say that the road has started to improve a little bit as you are now entering what might be like a more habited area. It's no longer just like dirt and potholes. That's more gravelly, certainly, and seems to be better cared for.
Sure.
You do still feel like you're out in the wilds, though. There are trees everywhere. And in fact, as you continue down this road, the trees are actually getting bigger and larger. And certainly feels like you're starting to move maybe into like an old growth forest, like a forest that has been untapped by woodcutters everywhere. So it doesn't feel like you are moving into a city. But I mean, based off of the sign, it certainly feels like you're going to be there soon.
Sure.
Now, Giovanni and I were not, elves. Is there anything we should know? Any customs? Anything to not step on toes?
They do not step on their toes. I know from personal experience the elves do not like that.
Yeah, much like our humanoid counterparts. It should be fairly standard. I mean, I can do the talking, I guess, if we get in any kind of situation where people can't speak human, I guess. But
is there...
A lot of elves can't speak human, so...
It's common, by the way.
Common, sorry.
Oh, okay. Because I was just about to ask, is there, like, an elven greeting or something?
It's customary, actually, to just jump up and down. And, like, in a 360 when you meet somebody new.
Insight check.
Can I roll a... I think Ben's
I
want to
see if he's lying.
So Val, like maybe it's a good time to come clean. Are you lying or not?
Yes, I am.
That's a 22.
All right, I need you to roll a deception check.
Deception? Okay. Oh wow. Okay. This is Mordecai.
You might be fooling Geo though. I rolled an 8.
You might be fooling Geo.
Aww.
No, fail. Oh,
So what'd you roll there, Val?
Just a critical fail.
Yeah, okay, all right, now one. Yeah, you guys can tell very explicitly that Val is lying straight to your faces.
No, not
even Giovanni, who is, it might not be up to snuff on, like, his ability to know what's going on around him. He definitely knows that Val is lying.
Val, why are you lying to us? It's clearly not a real elvish custom. Have you ever even been to this city?
Not this one specifically, no.
Do they practice this greeting custom in any city?
No, sorry, I just messed with you guys.
You tried.
Tried and failed.
Lieutenant, is there some sort of customary greeting? Is there a way to say hello or something we should know, or should we just keep our mouths shut? Is basically what I'm asking.
Well, I grew up with my father, so I don't really know too much about that side. I only saw my mom, like, every once in a while, like, for holidays, but nothing really stood out as distinctly elvish.
One of those two Fortnite of us families, say.
Eh? Yeah, what can I say?
How would one say hail and well met in elvish?
I don't speak elvish.
Oh dear.
Ask Val. He's the elf.
I can give him the translation.
I don't really trust Val after that last deception that he tried to pull.
Probably says I jump up and down.
Let me, I want to try to use my feudal translate, and then I'll cross-reference it with what Val
says. Sure.
Okay, Val, I am sending you the translation for Hail and Well Met.
Okay.
And you can do with that what you please.
I got a nat 20 with my feudal translate.
I see that too, so I was going to be honest anyway.
Table talk, is Tolkien Elvish and D&D Elvish the same language or no?
There isn't actually a written Elvish in D&D. You might be able to find it in some areas, but most of the time it just auto-translates to English. So I've been using Tolkien English, specifically Sindarin.
Okay.
We could say in our head canon, but it's Spanish.
It is Spanish? Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Sí, por favor.
¿Está bien?
Yeah. Mucho grande.
¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
Mi no gusto.
Translation is Slad a Ethan Govan. Open, screw that up, too bad.
Yeah, and Giovanni, you got a nat 20 on your translator, and you recognize that that is bang on. That's exactly what it should be and what it sounds like.
Good.
Slad Ethan Govan. The last word is almost like my name.
Perhaps Giovanni is descended from Well Met.
Possibly.
I mean, your family is a bunch of merchants, right?
Right.
So
that actually could add up. Maybe there's a little bit of some Elvish influence there.
Maybe.
My family's history beyond my father is a mysterious and unknown origin to me. Perhaps we should investigate this at a later time.
Your name could be, say, like the merchant of the bedroom or...
Merchant of the bedroom.
Let's move on. So at a certain point, Mordecai, you certainly see this because you're on the top of the carriage, you're in shotgun, so you're seeing what's coming up, and you can see that the road starts to certainly get straighter and a little bit nicer, seems a bit more cared for, and even you can see on the sides of it that there seems to be stone actually lining in the gravel so it doesn't start to fade away. Ooh. And it's the bush is kind of cleared a little bit further back on either side, so it's not like you're just riding straight through the forest, but you can see that the trees themselves do not seem to be disappearing. There's no distinct clearing before the city as you approach it, and nor would you describe it as a city. You might even have some difficulty describing it as a settlement or a village because it does not match what you have envisioned or have seen in the past in terms of settlements, because those have been mostly human in nature, if you've ever even left Rhineland for that matter. And it certainly doesn't match your idea of what cities look like. As you approach the settlement of New Elftown, you can see that it is not a settlement like others you've seen. There are no thatched roofs, there's no buildings that are made from like brick and stone. It is not like a typical human city. Each of the buildings, as you start to approach this, as you can see off in the distance, seem like they blend almost seamlessly into the forest around them. In fact, the distance between trees starts to grow a little bit further, and you can see that rather than having like large trees all around them, they themselves are part of the town. You can see that they grow up in all over the place, and the road itself moves around these as you start to enter it. It's like they decided to build in accordance to nature rather than trimming nature in order to build according to their own design. The houses themselves are built into the sides of many of these trees. Some stand out, they stand on their own, but many of them are kind of built in amongst these great roots that come from some of these large trees. And you're uncertain yourself whether this is a place that they specifically chose to live because of how the trees already were, or rather the elves moved in here and then the trees became the way they are now. So you can see this looming structure of houses off in the distance that are kind of built into this forest. You can certainly tell that it is some kind of settlement, but it is, as I mentioned before, unlike others that you have seen. You'd say that from where you are sitting, you can see maybe about 20 buildings that are loosely clustered together. Some are larger than others. There's like, you can even make out what appears to be maybe a two-story structure, but you can't quite tell from where you are right now exactly how that works, especially in this forest glade.
Sure.
Guys, I think we're here.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to bang on like the closest wood bit behind me so they can get their attention.
Sure. Okay, so Val and Giovanni, you stick your heads out of your respective windows of the carriage, and you can start to make this out as well. Val, this is certainly not unusual to you. You grew up in an elf city, so you know kind of the design of them. This is a settlement, of course, so it's a bit smaller, but you may have come across similar ones to this in your own travels. Every elf city or settlement is distinct by itself. They don't really follow like a set kind of design. They don't follow linear models of like arranging buildings. They're very much organically kind of pop up wherever they happen to be. But it certainly matches what you would imagine a predominantly elf settlement to look like. Giovanni, of course, you're like Mordecai. This is, you're from Ren and you're used to human settlements and human cities. So this looks a little bit more wild to you than you would expect it to be.
Can I shout at the top of my lungs? Suled a Ithil, Govenin!
All right, your words get caught up in the wind around you and you hear nothing.
Hmm.
Oh, really?
It's still, pardon me, it's still blowing pretty good.
Well, you're just traveling in a carriage, is really what it is.
Oh, like, I thought we were out of the carriage. I thought we were the city now. Sorry.
No, you're pulling up to the city.
No, we could just see it.
Oh, okay.
The carriage progresses down this road, and you start to enter the settlement proper. There are two large arches, stone arches, that are kind of like obelisks, you might describe them. Large standing stones that mark either side of the road and proceed into the settlement where more buildings are starting to cluster together. There are certainly some odd buildings that are on the outskirts of this area. There's no wall around the settlement. It seems to be very open concept, we might describe it. And you are now entering what appears to be the settlement itself. You can see all these buildings together. They're built into the trees. You can see everything that Mordecai saw before in much closer detail now. And here you are. Can I have everybody roll perception checks?
Yeah.
Sure thing.
Has the carriage slowed down yet?
Yes, the carriage has slowed down.
I want to try to yell that greeting again.
Sure, Giovanni, you can yell that greeting again.
Sulad e Ithil Govenin.
You do not hear anything.
Okay.
Hmm.
I rolled an 8 per perception.
While we were going past those obelisks, is there any chance that I could do an arcana check to see if I just, you know, got any vibes of whether or not those arches were magical?
Good idea.
Sure. Let's do one thing at a time. So read out your perception checks for me again.
12.
25 for Val.
I rolled an 8 because I suck.
So the carriage kind of slows to a halt just outside of this stone archway, these obelisks in front of you. Let's call them standing stones. That's really what they are.
Sure.
Then that's exactly what you see. Maybe Giovanni, not quite as much. Certainly more for Val and Mordecai. You can see that these are natural standing stones. They do not appear to have been carved into. There's no like runes or anything etched on them. They're just really long, thin, naturally formed stones that are set upright on either side of this road. Mordecai, could I have you roll an arcana check?
Sure thing. In the back of his head, he's like, they were able to make a sign that can tell you the time based on where you're standing. So maybe this, I don't know, tells you how many people are still in the town? I got an 11.
So arcana checks are not really something that we use to detect magic, but it's more of just a thing that lets you know if maybe you've come across stuff like this that could be magic, or like give you like little signs that this thing may be magic. In your experience and from your time at the university, your framework for magic, whenever you see it and it's like a physical object, is usually something that's engraved with runes. There are no runes here. You can see that this is a naturally formed piece of stone. You don't see any kind of runes, nothing, no powers of protection, like etched onto it, nothing. And that's about all you can really grasp from this.
All natural.
I'm gonna pass that on to these guys and be like,
I mean, it's not even a shield of the town, so I guess they're not expecting any outside threats. Must be a pretty friendly place.
Yeah,
I feel at ease here.
Okay, well, should we go into the settlement, then?
Proceed.
Take it slow.
Okay.
And Lieutenant Black shakes the reins, and the horses start clopping along a little bit, moving at a more of a snail's pace as you guys move through. And you pass through those obelisks, and all of a sudden you hear a loud ding!
I look over at the lieutenant.
Did you hear that, or was that just in my head?
No, I heard that too.
Could I disembark from the cart and walk beside it?
Yeah, so Giovanni, you open the door to the carriage and you step out onto the road to the side of you.
And I want to try one more time. Sular y athir govanin.
Silence. You do notice that next to these stones is like a little, maybe like 5x5 shack with like a window, and there is a door that opens into it, but it seems to be empty. There is a sign, though.
Ah, toll booth.
Sorry, Josh. I meant to ask with that 25 perception. Like, is there still nobody? We don't see anybody walking around out on the paths, or.
And now you've hit the nail on the head. So, Val, looking around, you don't see anybody. Nobody's here, and this little building that was right next to these two stones,
sure,
is empty. Just like every other building here. The doors open there, and the doors open in every other house. It's empty.
Jeez. Okay. I'll relay this to my partner. I'll say, hey guys, I think if this place feels empty or deserted. And then I'll just maybe go to the nearest house, building, shop, or whatever, and maybe just... I already feel it's deserted, but maybe I just want to see if people left in a hurry, or signs of struggle, or any kind of clues, maybe.
You said there was the sign somewhere?
Yeah, there was a sign on the little building that you were at.
Can I try to translate it with my feudal translate? Like it's a Google Glass?
Yeah, sure. So you can hold your little your stone up to it, your stone of far speech, and you can try to decipher what it is saying.
Can I use the nat 20 I already rolled for it to, like, it's still set to Elvish?
Oh. Nope. You have to reuse it. You have to throw in a new one.
What if we retcon that I paid like 6 gold to download the premium that had Elvish, Orcish, and it's another and fairy languages.
But your still does get occasional advertisements.
Damn it.
For other products.
Ads you can't skip.
Just got scrolling runes.
You have to watch them for like 15 seconds.
Well, I rolled a 19, so...
Yeah, okay, so...
Do I hold it up to the thing, or do I attempt to read the Elvish and it translates it to me?
You know what? Yeah, I think you're going to have to read it. I don't want to set a bad precedent here. I'm worried about the ramifications of you being able to just hold this up to whatever script you see. okay, so...
I love making Josh type things into okay. translators.
Yeah, you know what? No, there is no translation for these words, so I'm just going to tell you what it says. It says toll booth.
Oh, okay. Fuck.
Does it say a price?
Giovanni says nothing.
Okay.
Oh, never mind.
You do say it. You do see that it says, like, 5 gold pieces underneath it.
Wait a minute. Is there a place to put the 5 gold piece, like a slot or something?
No.
There's no, like, little basket or, like, little... There's nowhere that Giovanni can see you just, like, put 4 coins or 5 coins?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Nothing.
Well, I'm going to throw 5 coins into the toll house anyway.
Okay. All right. You throw 5 gold coins into it.
Gio, where do you get this money, bro? Man,
I had 48 gold, and now I have 43.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. It's elvish. There might be like some magic where it's like now that the toll is paid, people appear all of a sudden.
That is a pretty good safety measure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, man.
And then,
although
well,
it would make more
pick...
sense if they could make their houses disappear too.
Yeah, I guess so. But if nobody appears after I throw the gold, I'm just gonna go pick it up anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So nobody appears or anything.
Did anyone see me do that?
No one here, man.
I presume that Val and Mordecai see you.
Well, yeah, apart from us.
In character, would you guys ask what I'm doing, or would you just be like, ah, fucking this guy?
No.
Well, I would keeping some side-eye tabs on what you're doing, but I wouldn't ask.
Okay.
I wonder if I could break open the toll booth. That just occurred to me.
You want to break into the toll booth?
Like to... No, I'm not. Just a passing, fleeting thought.
Okay.
Val's always so broke for money, man. It just, like, no one's there, no one's here, no one's using it. And there's, like, a cash box attached to this toll house. You know, who's to say you couldn't break it open for gold? But I'm just, no, that's not Val. This has been thinking out loud.
Val, well, I mean, you certainly could do that if you want to.
Well, you could, I'm just thinking, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't break it off town for money.
Val and Lieutenant Black, I don't want to break the bad news to you guys, but you may be the only elves left in the realm.
Yeah, that's sort of a scary thought. I'm, again, not an elf, though.
You're half elf.
Yeah, she's half
elf.
Yeah, I'm a half elf, guys. We're different.
Does that mean you half care about the possible genocide of your half people?
Giovanni, I don't really know how to respond to that.
That's dark.
That is dark. Yeah, can we go in a building or just look around at, like, just maybe where are these, like, these people? Because even if the elves from Renlin emigrated from there where do these people go? Or, you know, we're out here looking for the Renlin elves, but I mean, either they've been here and left as well, or some came here and some didn't, but either way, this population is displaced as well, right? So
So I'll give you a few kind of options of things you can do. Sure. You can do just like a general investigation for the area that you're in, so looking at the roads and looking at different stuff around you. You can also start exploring houses. Like, you can really do whatever you want. Just be specific about like what things you want to look at.
Sure. I just want to go even into like a shop or a home or a business or something. Almost at random, like, does it look like it was packed in a hurry? Is everything still there, more or less? Are the shops locked? Are the homes locked? You know, are they open?
Is there like an elven equivalent to a town hall or like a capital building?
Yeah, that look for something to that effect, perhaps. Like, yeah, it's a good idea, Gio. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll say with the perception checks you had earlier, you can see that there are a few larger structures in this town. You suspect that maybe one of them might be a town hall of sorts.
Sure.
You're not really sure how, like, central governance works in small elf townships like this, but you suspect maybe there's, like, a central area where people would do that stuff. I think for further information, you're going to have to kind of do investigation checks.
Sure. Let's maybe proceed, if everyone's on board, maybe to this larger structure, building, tree.
We could do that. I was also thinking about checking as many surrounding houses as possible. I could cast haste on myself and check five of them in the next minute.
All right, so we're going to just split ways and look around a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I could give somebody else super speed too, but it's only going to last a short while, then you've got to get a little sleepy, but I mean, it might help all in all.
How about you just keep that to yourself?
Yeah,
Mordecai.
Okay,
I don't really want you messing around with me again. I already don't like you, like, messaging my brain. That's weird. I'm gonna let you do that.
You can't control how you receive the message, okay?
Clearly not.
I can't just send you a raven. Like,
do you have a feudal device? Like a feudal translator?
No.
I'm the only one with like a feudal stone. Well, no, we all have stones of far speech, right?
Yeah. I don't have the translate.
No, my package is pretty basic.
You guys didn't do the update before we left Renlin?
Really? I don't know how to do that.
There's no stone Wi-Fi out here. You can't get it in the elf city.
Mordecai's just smacking his stone like, I don't know how to make it work. Anyways, I'm going to go check some houses.
Okay, so it looks like maybe if there's like a town center or something, it might be further in. How about I pull the carriage up with Val and Giovanni? and we'll go kind of explore that. You're going to catch up then, Mordecai?
Yeah, unless somebody wants to come with.
He'll catch up, all right. Hey, you want some of this haste?
hey, you kids want some haste?
Hey, kids want some haste?
I mean, Val, couldn't you turn into an animal that's, like, pretty keen at snooping?
Hey, that's a good idea.
Turn into, like, a bloodhound or something?
I don't know. Yeah, I would definitely do it. A dog, yeah, I shall do that. I'll transform into a dog.
Okay. So, all of a sudden, Val, you are a dog now. Are you still within the carriage, like, poking your head out the window, or what are you doing?
No, I've dismounted.
Okay, you dismounted. Okay, so you're on foot, and you can see that Lieutenant Black and Fives, who's also in the carriage, start to head further into the settlement. Giovanni, are you going with them?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
A little creeped out right now by Lieutenant Black's complete disregard for the well-being of her half-people.
Sure. Val, are you running alongside this carriage, or are you also doing your own thing?
No, I'll go with them. I want to kind of search the larger building, I guess, with kind of the gang, and just be a better nose and a keener set of senses, I suppose.
Sure. Okay. So let's start with Mordecai then. So Mordecai, there are a few houses that are kind of close to this entrance where you guys just came through. What do you do exactly?
Okay, so I'm going to slap my chest, I'm going to cast haste so that my speed is doubled and I get two actions per turn. Not that we're in combat, but like, you know, for investigation checks or whatever.
Okay.
And I just want to like zigzag to like the four closest houses and
just
go inside, run it. Look around for signs of whatever.
Okay. Could I have you roll two investigation checks? And that's because of your haste.
Cool. First one is a 14, and the second one is a 13.
Okay, so you can see that in each of these buildings, whoever used to live in them left quickly. Mm. The doors themselves are unlocked. It looks like people just kind of grabbed their stuff and ran. And entering each of these buildings, you can see that, you know, they're nice little dwellings. It's certainly in a style of housing that you are not used to. Everything seems a little bit more flowy and organic. There are windows, but they seem to really kind of flow naturally out of each of the walls that they're held in. There are beams that are kind of holding the houses together, like kind of giving them a bit more structure, but they seem very naturally coming out of the ground around them. The floor itself in each of these buildings are wood. It's hardwood floor, but the beams themselves seem to be like living trees. They're kind of growing through the houses and providing structure as they continue to grow. There's nobody that's living. You can't find anyone in these rooms. And in fact, there seems to be a little bit of dust and dirt just kind of draped over everywhere in here.
And in said dust and dirt, do I see any places where like a footprint may have been left, or where like the items were taken from, or as the dust accumulated after the fact?
You do actually see footprints. You can see that in each of these houses, there seems to certainly have been some people in here at some point after the dust had already settled. There are some fairly fresh, maybe footprints, large footprints. You'd probably estimate like a medium to large person. Perhaps may have been through here. There may have been a few people, but you can't really pick out like how many people may have been through here. Any drawers or cabinets, all the doors are open in it, and you can't see anything in here.
Gotcha.
Like it looks like maybe someone has come through here and taken some stuff, but you're also not sure if that was before whoever lived here already left, or if this person came in and took stuff that was left behind.
Gotcha. Okay.
Can I use a divine sense just to, like, I don't know, rule out any celestial or fiendish activity?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead. So you reach deep within yourself, Giovanni, and you start to channel some divine energy. It's beautiful for all who are watching, although no one can see the spectral light. You only really imagine that yourself. So people just hear this humming. But you can't detect anything fiendish. You can't detect anything divine in the area. Well, actually, no. Let me rephrase that. You do detect something divine. Something that certainly seems very powerful. Something magic. But it's like a very faint thrum in amongst the rest of the world around it.
Is it like the ethereal power of the earth?
I mean, that's a tough one to describe, but if you were to, you would say, yeah, maybe it is something naturally magical about the Earth itself. It certainly seems akin to that, if that makes sense.
Okay. No, it does, because, I mean, the one time I used it to detect evil or whatever, and, like, money was evil or something the one time, but, like, I don't know how crazy you want to get with this, though.
Okay. Should rename it your ideological sense.
Maybe
nothing out of the ordinary for an elvish city that's basically made of magic trees.
Yeah, I think that might be a good deduction. Like that might be where the source of the magic is coming from, or at least this power is coming from. It might be something natural about elf settlements themselves, but you're not quite sure.
Hmm. Okie dokie.
I'm gonna shoot a message to Val. I'm assuming that as in dog form, he probably still understands common.
I can understand common.
I believe with druids, their minds are still their own, even in animal form, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm also assuming that since I'm hasted, my speaking is probably faster than it should be.
Oh my god, Val, it looks like all these places, they're all the same, and there's footprints and there's stuff missing, and come take a look.
Yeah, okay, I'll, sorry, I guess I was headed with Geo and the carriage, but I guess I'll split back to where Mordecai was.
All right, so you're going to head back to
wherever Mordecai's investigating, and then I'll try and use my nose. And if he's got footprints, I can try and track, I guess.
Okay. All right, so I guess you get a message from Mordecai telling you to come back and take a look at some things. You bark back at him through message, which might be a little confusing for him, but he knows that you received the message, so that's something that's good. You end up tailing off from the carriage as it moves further into the town, and you go back and you find Mordecai. You are a dog. I don't know how to specify that beyond. You do eventually find Mordecai. Maybe you sniff him out. He's coming out of a house just as you are approaching him, and there are the two of you.
I guess, Mordecai, you gonna gesture where you want me to sniff around, or?
Yeah, I'm assuming that it probably took Val, what, like maybe a minute to come over to me?
Yeah.
Pretty quick.
Okay, so haste is up. You'll find me at one of the houses, and I've conveniently sat down on one of these people's beds because I am out of energy.
Very tired.
Very, very tired. And he's just gonna like haphazardly point in the direction where the footprints were and just sniff over there. I need some orange slices.
And I'll make my way over there and use my keen scent on that.
All right, what are you sniffing?
Mordecai, didn't she find footprints or something?
Yep. Yeah,
footprints.
I mean,
okay. All right. Could I have you?
Did that dog just speak common?
Sure. Can I have you roll?
I'm out of it.
Can I have you roll a perception check with advantage?
Sure. 25.
Man,
over
killing
21.
It.
So
stellar.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's say that you go back out into the path, and you're just kind of sniffing some of the trails coming into and out of the houses. So you pick up on that perhaps a few people have kind of come through this area.
Okay.
Maybe within a few different days of each other. Certainly whoever left this house left a little bit ago. There's no sense of like the original inhabitants. It'd be weird if you were able to kind of pick out the difference between footprints that were the original owners and those who were not.
Sure. Well, I don't know who lives here, so.
Yeah, you have no idea who lives here. So.
Right.
You can pick out that there has been several sets of footprints coming into and out of these houses, say, over the past week. You do know that certainly someone has come out of this house within the past hour. And it's not Mordecai's footprints. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And as
oh, wow.
you follow
okay.
these footprints out into the street, you realize that actually there's been a fair bit of activity here within the past hour. Certainly someone or some peoples have come through here. There's signs that there was a cart that came through here that isn't your own carriage. You can tell the difference between your carriage's tracks and these ones.
Sure.
And there are footprints and horse footprints. Prints? Yeah, that makes sense. Horse prints hoofs have come through here that are unrelated to the hoofs that you are already familiar with.
Sure. Probably maybe even recognize it. the difference, of course, between the horses, maybe, or certainly our horses, what they sort of like and stuff. Dog mode.
Yeah, I mean, cool. You can tell because your carriage came through here 5 minutes ago, yeah. And these certainly seem older than that 5 minutes, though not by much.
Jeez, is there any way I could pick up on this and begin to try and track it?
Or
lead what direction it might be, or
you can see that it's heading the same direction as the carriage that Giovanni and Lieutenant Black are on. And it's at that point that we cut to Giovanni and Lieutenant Black, who are heading further into the town to maybe find something of a city hall or some kind of community area.
Do I have any idea that Benny the dog is rolling up?
No. As best you know, he's already with you, because Val didn't say goodbye when he took off to go find Mordecai. He just kind of turned off the trail and headed back. So it's okay. and he was just like, he was not in the carriage with you. So it was you and Fives in this carriage and Lieutenant Black who's driving it.
Okay.
So the three of you are heading further into the town here. You can see that some of the buildings are a little bit closer together. There's more larger trees that are all kind of growing in amongst each other, and they're forming really cool structures. Like, there's two trees on either side of this road, and they overarch each other, and, like, they connect at the top over this arch that might be about 20 or 30 feet high. So it's, like, two trees that have kind of grown into one, and there's, like, some platforms and things like that up there. There's a lot of cool structures in amongst this settlement that certainly start to seem like it's popping up and could grow into something that's really interesting, but it's still a very early settlement, so there's still like signs of some construction and signs of some people first kind of moving into this area. And you can see that the road itself is starting to widen a little bit, and it looks like it is going to open up maybe into something of like a central area of town. And all of a sudden the carriage stops. Yeah, there's a sound of carriage stopping. And you can hear Lieutenant Black kind of get down from where she is. And she seems to be stepping a little bit differently. Now might be a good time for you to roll a perception check.
Crit fail.
Okay, so Lieutenant Black jumps down from the carriage, wanders back to you, and puts her head in the window. And she says,
I think there's someone up ahead.
Ah.
I don't know if they've seen us yet or not, but it seems like maybe there's some people, and I'm not quite sure. We should probably get out.
All right. I'm going to get out of the carriage and yell at the top of my lungs, Sulad I Ethiel Govenin.
Uh-oh.
You can kind of hear maybe about 30 or 40 feet up the road. It takes a bend before it opens up, and you hear a voice yell out,
I think there's someone here.
That doesn't sound like Elvish. I'm gonna pull this sword out.
And you start to hear footsteps heading towards you.
Could I yell back for the crew?
You could, but they might be, like, 10 minutes behind you at this point.
So much yelling, oh my goodness.
Okay, never mind.
I
think it's a very quiet place. My voice might carry.
This is true.
It's entirely possible,
Maybe not through the trees very well, though, but welcome to try.
Yeah, go ahead.
If the trees are good, maybe they'll help carry my message.
That's true, actually. And,
I don't know. I'm not the elf. I don't know. I'm actually going to try to use my feudal communication device really quickly to go, hey, guys, there's someone here.
It slaps his stone phone.
Good guy, bad guy?
I don't know, but maybe head down the road when you get a chance.
A big building, right?
I think it's a building.
Okay.
It's kind of like an open clearing that you're starting to look into.
Like a town square.
Yeah. town square adjacent.
Town circle.
Yeah, it's more probably. Circular maybe. Yeah.
All right, I'm coming.
It's at that point you turn your phone to put it back in your pocket, and three figures turn the corner and look at you.
Jeez.
Hail and well met.
You there, what are you doing here?
And you can see that one person stands out amongst the rest of them because the other two are dwarves. There are three people there. Two dwarves are kind of behind them, and the other person is a human, and he steps past them towards you. He seems to be holding what looks like a large spear at his side. He's a very scruffy character, but that's about all you pick out because, again, you rolled a nat one for perception. And he yells at you,
You there, what are you doing?
Hello, well met, traveler. My name is Giovanni de Chambray, and I am here on behalf of the City Guard of Renlin. What brings you to this elvish community?
Renlin, you guys don't have any clearance to be here. You're just a couple of people on the road.
I am also a knight of the, a paladin of the, oh my god. I'm also a paladin of the Church of the Sacred Object, I'll have you know, and any wrongdoing will not be tolerated.
A knight paladin, eh?
And he looks at the two people near him, and he says,
I wager we'd be able to get a pretty nice ransom from one like that.
From who? My church is incredibly poor. To buy my own armor.
Could I have you roll a persuasion check?
I'm telling the truth. Like, it's not a...
You're not deceiving him. You're trying to persuade him.
17.
He looks you up and down. He says,
Order of the Sacred Object, eh? Huh. Yeah, I recall them being a little bit scat for cash, but one paladin's better than no paladin.
We're just trying to figure out what happened to the elves here.
Well, it seems like whoever lived here is now long gone, and that means that this place is ours now.
That's not how the law of titles and land works in Renlin.
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
My name is Giovanni du Chambray, paladin of the Sacred Object.
Well, Mr. du Chambray, you ain't in Renlin no more.
And with that, combat has started.
Oh boy.
How far away is this thug?
He might be about 30 feet away from you and your carriage.
Alright. I guess I'm rolling for initiative, though?
Yep.
Oh, wait. Doesn't matter. I rolled a 5.
Okay.
Josh, how do you feel about us using the stone phones to break the game?
It depends on how breaking you do.
Oh, my God. Every time. Well, actually, it's usually Mordecai, so it's, yeah. Giovanni rolling initiative right now, or and those guys, or?
Yep.
Okay.
Captain Black and Fives, too, right?
Yep, yeah. Also Captain Black and Fives.
Wait, Lieutenant or Captain Black?
Sorry, Lieutenant Black. You called her Captain Black.
I did. I got scared for a second.
She got a promotion.
I'm looking forward to this. Giovanni is like itching for just classic adventuring combat.
Little mono a mono.
Yeah, well, it seems like these guys are also looting like houses.
Straight up, yeah. These guys can die straight up. So
okay, all right. So it is the three of you.
Fertilize the trees.
Ooh, Jesus, getting dark there. So it's the three of you versus the three of them, Gio. And first up is Fives, actually. He got a 16. Fives looks at you, Giovanni, and he says,
Are we fighting now?
Let's get it on.
Bang a gong.
And then he starts running towards the the head. Yeah, he starts clomping his way over to the head bandit that seems to have been speaking
to you. I like to imagine him running like one of those Boston Dynamics robot dogs. Like,
yeah, he does a cool backflip at some point.
Gotta hate those things.
Okay, so he runs up to the bandit who was speaking to you, rather. Oh, yeah, he has that knife, doesn't he?
Yep, he's got the grubber.
Nice.
Yeah.
1d4 plus 1.
Cool Fives.
All right, so he pulls out his knife and he stabs at this bandit in front of him.
I love it. Damn it, stabby.
Jesus!
Oh,
yeah, he got a 21 to hit and he did 4 stabby damage to him.
Do you think this bandit has ever seen a functioning robot before?
Get stabbed by one? Just stab him.
Just a really skinny guy in tight armor.
We drew first blood.
Yep.
Well, specifically Fives did. I actually had to hand it to him. A little bit concerned about maybe if he's a little bit too powerful, but we'll see.
Are we gonna nerf Fives?
Gotta nerf him in the update.
I have a feeling that Fives doesn't have a lot of hit points. Anyways,
He did 4 damage. That's okay. Next up is Lieutenant Black.
Whoa.
She rolled a 14.
Yeah, this I want to see.
Yeah, what is she, like a rogue?
No. I mean, if you want to investigate that, you certainly could in the future. So, Lieutenant Black...
I feel like she's going to die any one of these days anyway. I'm not going to try to get
Sure.
Okay, so Lieutenant Black, from underneath her long garrison cloak, like she has like a standard officer's cloak, she pulls up a crossbow that you have not seen up until this point, which is weird because it's not a small crossbow. It's not like a handheld crossbow. It is a two-handed crossbow that she levies in front of her. And you can see on the side of it, there's a little stamp that says Renlin Garrison on it.
Nice.
Is it like folded flat? And then when she pulls it out, it goes like...
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. It realigns itself.
Comes with like the 5-bolt magazine.
She takes aim at the bandit that Fives just hit, and she fires. She rolled an 11, and the 11 misses. So unfortunately, the shot goes wide. It looked real cool, but there was zero payoff.
11 piercing is would have been a lot of damage, though.
It would have been a lot of damage, but it's not. Next up is the heavy bandit that Fives just hit and Lieutenant Black missed. This person pulls out their spear and stabs at Fives in front of him. He rolled a 17, and the 17 does hit. So Fives takes 5 points of damage, because that's how much he rolled.
Because that is his name.
Fives did not receive that too well. He kind of takes a step back. No! Fives is probably used to getting hit because he was a garrison automaton used for practice, but he doesn't appreciate getting hit here. The bandit behind our bandit, one of the two dwarfs with a crossbow, takes it and levies it at Lieutenant Black to fire back at her. They rolled an 18. That 18 does hit, so she takes 10 points of piercing damage. Thunk, right into her shoulder. Next up is the other guy with a crossbow. He's going to take aim at you, Giovanni, and fire.
All right, good luck.
I've heard that before, and I'll hear it again, probably forever. 23!
Oh, that does hit.
You take 3 piercing damage.
Oh, I don't like that.
Next up, it's your turn, Giovanni. You are at the very bottom of the turn order.
I'm going to charge at the leader.
Okay.
And smash him with a longsword. One-handed.
Sure, okay.
26 for 12?
Yeah, that hits him.
And then 17 for 12?
Yeah, that hits him.
And then I want to hit him with the... Yeah, why not? I'm going to also throw in a little Divine Smite on this guy.
Oh, boy, okay.
14 radiant damage. So 38 damage?
Yeah, that definitely happens. You just slash down at this guy. 1, 2, and then you throw in a little smite on the end of that, glowing bright as you stab into him, and the guy just crumples to the ground dead. I don't even have to do the math for that. That's how much damage you did to him.
Is Giovanni covered in blood? I like to think his corpse exploded with divine righteousness.
I don't want to say you're covered in blood. Like, this guy did not explode, but you certainly did a lot of damage there.
Did the dwarves seem shaken at all?
I think they're a little bit shaken because they just saw, like, the guy who was leading them over here just, like, burst into a pile of meat. So maybe they're a little unnerved by that. But they don't seem to be, like, they're going to run away at this point, okay. If that's what you're fishing for.
I mean, I always, like, I wish there was more opportunities during combat to try to have little conversations in there.
No, it's always a free action.
It's not too late to surrender.
Are you having that conversation right now? Are you doing that?
I'd like to. Just
slaughter this person to pieces, then jovially ask, hey, are you you sure you don't want to run away?
Just cleaning your blade. Yeah.
Could I have you roll a persuasion check?
It was courteous, if
you
nothing else.
You could just drop your weapons and surrender. You know, I won't cut you to bits. 8 persuasion.
They look down at the crumpled body of the person in front of them, look at you, and then look behind them, and then look back at you, and they say,
I think we're gonna take our chances with you.
And it's at that point that you look up from the crumpled body in front of you, and you can see that behind these people, in fact, behind the curve in the road that opens up into a town circle, there is quite a few more people.
Oh, what?
Oh, whatever, bring them on.
So that whole posse of looters, or?
And Giovanni, could I have you roll a perception check?
10.
So in front of you in this town circle seems to be like a few huts that have kind of set up, like some tents, a little fireplace, and there are quite a few people in here. But the thing about this is that it doesn't seem like all of these people are belonging to the same group.
There are some people that are walking around sitting by the fires. These guys are very gruff and perhaps angry looking, like the guys that are in front of you right now. But you can also see that off to the side are a few people that are in chains.
Ooh. Oh, I don't like that one bit.
And with the slaughter of the person in front of you and the yelling that's going on between the two guys with the crossbow standing next to you, the rest of the guys at this campsite stand up and look over, and then they start heading your direction. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our podcast. If you're interested in hearing more about us, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Anchor, or Patreon as Late and Legends. A special thanks to our patrons this week, Al, Aaron, DJ Seath, Ethan, and Jason. If you're like these very special people and want to support our podcast, join us over on Patreon. And be sure to leave us a review on Spotify and iTunes. That helps us a lot. With that, we'll see you next week.